Before we began our first afternoon meditation, I would sort of pick up from the comments right before lunch and going back to the question of how we can, when we're in that inward staying place, there's many other ways that comes about, that recognition of the objects, the unsatisfaction of objects, and it's described in many ways. And I was being very careful to not to treat objects with in a certain way. But the Buddha, would talk about disgust and things like that. So that was that in the original. There was, but he was dealing with a lot of young men, and using that kind of language was sort of matching the energy of that young male energy, is the way I look at it when he started out. But that may not be true, and maybe also the interpretation and how the word was used, I can't know. But we do become very disillusioned, and there's another aspect where it with, that we fall into this recognition of dukkha, and we will have dukkha so strong that we don't want our very best things. We just feel them as dukkha. So, for instance, on one retreat, I was in some days just seeing everything as dukkha because that's the way the mind had gotten fixed. That's, considered useful that your mind gets to seeing like that, but it's not very pleasant, and I don't know if it needed to go on so long, but it did. And my favorite meal was breakfast. And each morning when I was in this recognition of dukkha, I knew I liked breakfast, and it tasted just like the way it always tasted, but it was just dukkha. It's just dukkha. There was no relatedness to the pleasant in that way. Sunsets, I would watch the sunset every afternoon at the IMS. The porch there in front. I love watching the sunset going down. I look at then I, when I was in that dukkha stage, I'd look at that sun going down and I'd have dukkha. And I was not having a good time. But it is breaking, see, the hypnosis, this internal training. What I like about internal staying is that it's not having to we're discovering a way, we're softening into, we're having natural recognition, and I feel as though that gives us a wider range of relating in a way that we can stay with it, that is more, you can have these experiences and they're very strong, and you think, oh, it's going to change your perception forever, and a day later it's not at all true. So I feel as though there's something that can gradually build that is really lasting in this. Each of us have to find out for ourselves. And the other thing is that we are practicing practice. We're not practicing results. We're practicing practice. And this is very, very key to this practice. We're not practicing results. So often we get off in our retreats, in my experience, because we're trying to get somewhere. And so our orientation already is we've put the ego in the center without ever recognizing it. My ambition is to get rid of the ego. Now, whose ambition is that? That's speaking, right? Whose ambition could it be but the ego? So this approach is again a gentler approach. And using, moving towards the natural states of mind that give us choice, as we've detailed so often, and we'll do more so. Okay, so with that as kind of a grounding, we're going to begin our first meditation of the afternoon. And we will be going, we've used our, physical body consciousness. We've used our vital consciousness to good ends, and now we're going to be using the emotional thought capacity of consciousness, emotions, and thoughts, and to expand our ability to see what's suffering and not suffering to ever greater level of experience. And we are able to do this because once we've established the inner staying, as we do through the renunciations and the available sequence, involving the as best I'm able, and involving the three part of humility and innate dignity and integrity, we're able to get involved with objects with a level of objectivity, but that a level of objectivity is characterized by wisdom and compassion, not by judging, comparing, and fixing. So we're taking the inward staying capacity into the outgoing. So we're still referenced. We're in the resonance. We're grounded, that first ground, which is this inward staying ground. And that gives us, for kind of mysterious reasons, as far as I'm concerned, insight that's just insight. It's just insight that's available to us. We recognize somehow that the space, that inward space we've created, allows us to recognize things that in a way that we can. The recognition is a felt sense recognition, not so much involved in how we're supposed to think about something. We just recognize it for what it is. We're not referencing how we're supposed to think about it, how we're supposed to recognize it. We just recognize it. Arriving. Here and now, arriving just as we are externally, just as the external conditions are, arriving just as the internal conditions are. Arriving internally and externally, the full range of our experience. We're not assuming a better version of ourselves. We're not dependent on things being different. We're utilizing as best we're able this mindfulness front and center, this mindfulness that surrounds. We arrive with our capacities based on our previous practice. We arrive with the capacities that have come from the way we've lived lives. Some of these lives have sometimes been difficult. And that's created a kind of wisdom. Some of us have a kind of blessed life, and that has its own kind of wisdom. Arriving as best we're able, arriving with this feeling of recognizing that the motive is wholesome. Here we are directionally aligning with the Dhamma. We're not specifically aligning, as we will do when we get to the aligning, but we're directionally positioning ourselves already. Please feel that. Being mindful of this, even a little mindfulness of it, can really bring us into a place of more stability and spaciousness. Mindfulness front and center, mindfulness in the surround, all around. We are practicing to knowing the experiences that occur internally from the felt sense. We're wishing in our internal experience to be within that experience and not be doing our imagined view of it, but what we actually experience. Already you may feel presence. We spent the morning cultivating presence. Presence. We are present. That is, there is a mindfulness that is present, that cognates, that's able to discern, and that knowing capacity has a continuity that we call presence. And we feel the arriving, turning into available. It just naturally opens into our being available. We are available. Available to meet the moment. To meet the moment as it is. To unconditionally meet the moment. Being willing to stand under the moment and then respond rather than kind of stay a little outside the experience till we see exactly what this moment feels like. We are trusting ourselves, trusting the Dhamma, that we can navigate through, we can stay with, stand under what's arising. That doesn't mean we have to stay there if our bout of sadness has arisen from nowhere, and we realize that's just going to pull me under, then we move. We move away, we shift our attention, we move our attention somewhere else, if we're able, and as best we're able. But if we stay, then we go, okay, being with sadness is like this. Because we are there in the moment, we do have these two different levels of relatedness that are skillful, and thousands of specific skills within that, thousands in relation to a responsive mind versus reactive mind. Here is a metric for you in relation to this, of available to what's arising. When we are in a reactive mind, we are being defined by whatever that reaction is. We become stiff, congested, concentrated in shrunk into. So therefore we're being defined in this moment. We are being defined by that which is arising that's difficult in some way for us, even if it includes some really wanting. But if the wanting's motivated by greed, it could sound like a good thing to be wanting. But if it's motivated by greed, by resentment that others have and we don't have, even if it's a love relationship, not wholesome, not wholesome. This importance of staying aligned in that first directional from arriving on, we're moving into, we start out with this broadly directionally aligned to this more specific aligning. But staying here available where we recognize choice, We have to train ourselves to recognize in the heat of daily life, there's choice here. So often we've already spoken harshly, started driving too fast, whatever it is, before we realize there was choice. And then we get locked into it. It's a relationship. You're fighting with someone, and this fighting is just destroying the relationship. And it takes two to fight, and you can't help but do it. And comes the recognition that that is all because of my reactive mind. Oh, I have choice. I have a number of ways I can relate to this upsetting situation other than being reactive. And you discover that you are no longer being defined by the difficulty. It's simply characterizing this moment. You and your choices are intact. Your wisdom and compassion are available to you. When we get defined, often wisdom and compassion can't find their way in. So simple, yet so subtle. Available, available. The felt sense of available, here and now. Inward staying with this available. Mind and heart knowing itself. Not in relation to objects, but it's in its essence, its intrinsic nature. And so we align. We align with the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. All of the Eightfold Path we identify and relate to, align with path, being on a path. Or mindfulness. Our faith in our mindfulness, or metta. Something that stirs us, inspires us, leads to aspiration, wholesome aspiration through skillful means. Something that protects us, not perfectly protects, but protects at those first couple of layers of temptation. So fortunate. This is a felt sense experience, this aligning. You may be sleepy, you may be tired, you may have had too much food for lunch. But beneath all of that, those are conditions being created. Your interest, your heart's resonance, your mind's recognition capacity is still here. Be active in your recognition of available and aligned. Feeling available and aligned. We notice the natural concentration that has arisen. Again, the mind might be fuzzy right now, and still you can recognize. Or you just can't get there because it's fuzzy, and that's what you recognize. Available and aligned. We feel that is a mind state, the mind that's sheltered. This first ground where there is a kind of stillness within, some sort of connecting into within. And then, if you prefer, feel ready, you gently open to the experience as described in the Satipatthanas, starting with knowing the body. Knowing the body in the body. Posture. Or the sensory nature of the body that can register all of these different sensations. Some of which are known and some of which we don't know quite what they are or why they're there. Or the parts of the body, the 31 parts of the body is taught in the text. And the body in the form of the earth element, just one manifestation of the elementary nature of the body. And we fill the earth element within the body, within the pelvis to begin with. We invite weight underside at the elbows and lower arms. If the shoulders are being held up, we just gently let them go. Weight underside would be bringing the arms in more harmony with earth. We notice the presence of the wind element. And softly, carefully, we shift attention to receiving the experience of the wind element. This movement, a moving object, a reoccurring experience that's always slightly different, that can seem so similar, and yet the mind doesn't get bored or distracted when we're present. This earth element its stillness shows the contrast with the wind element in its movement. And now we do this contemplation, this inquiry, and we ask ourselves, what is movement? Oh, it's energy. It is energy moving. And we take this energy as our object. And we start to investigate, to open to the experience of energy. And we discover that this energy is tied to the very life force, and that vital consciousness can know this directly. This vitality, may this dimension of consciousness that's called vital consciousness be present so that I am able to see, experience, know fully my own vitality. Not to possess anything, but rather to be able to be more fully with what already is. Feeling the vitality as it manifests in the body, the physical body. So this vital consciousness and physical consciousness are providing us, as they work together, with the full range of aliveness in the body. And then we expand our attention to notice that there is another dimension of consciousness, a capacity of consciousness. And this capacity, this dimension of consciousness, can register the movement of emotion and thought as it enters the mind stream. Emotions that are generated by thoughts, thoughts generated by emotions, they come in a spontaneous way. We don't have to have a big focus to discover things about our emotional bodies and our thought. These thoughts and these emotions, they come together. Sometimes they are very mild. Sometimes they're stormy. Sometimes they're excited. Emotion is a capacity to know the emotional dimension of consciousness, knows these emotions. It recognizes them. Not just in naming, but recognizes them as felt sense that creates the receptivity for them to be felt. And the same with thoughts. Thoughts generating emotions, emotions generating thoughts. We're mindful. We're mindful of this. And we're experiencing it as best we're able from within the experience rather than just viewing it outside. At times, thoughts and emotions are quiet. There's maybe only a few, or there's a lot, but they're not very disturbing, they're not very deep. It's just another experience stream, and the consciousness that allows it to be known. We can make a me and mine out of our emotions so easily, so easily, but it's not necessary. Oceans are, there's like the emotional body has this vast ocean of emotion, but this specific emotion is like wind and other elements stirred it up, and then we get to know a particular wave of emotion. All waves are made up of the water, and yet the water is not defined by just being waves. So it is with our own knowing of the emotional body. These thoughts that we have, sometimes seemingly so randomly generated, a closer look, maybe not so randomly generated. But again, thoughts come with emotions, or emotions come with thoughts. Thoughts can lead to their occurring of a wave of emotion, but likewise, this wave of emotion can elicit a thought, a thinking process, doing and knowing are occurring right here in our consciousness. This aspect. This capacity of consciousness you can recognize. You may not be having many emotions, but the capacity is there and you can feel it just fine without a lot of emotion occurring. It's like when the ocean is calm and clear, and the same with the thought pattern. Inward staying, inward staying. We don't always have to be having big insights. Sometimes it's the calm that we are resting in. Vitality can be present and calm at times, and so can the stream of this dimension of emotion and thought. We want to be careful not to fall into fixing. Oh, I need a little more stimulation. Be careful. Be careful. Expanding now our sense of our own consciousness capacity to letting loose of the specifics and being inside all two or all three. The emotional thought body is there with the vital body. You can see the healthy and unhealthy relationship in a felt sense way. And likewise with the vital and the physical, and the physical and the vital, physical and the earth, the very stream of emotion, because our emotions flow in to the physical body. And that's often how we know them, although not always. Other times it's much more in the thought itself rather than a felt sense of the emotion. So these are the three manifest capacities of consciousness, physical body consciousness, vital body aliveness consciousness, and the consciousness that allows knowing the stream of emotions and thoughts of doing and knowing in this manifest realm. Again, you could be very stimulated or very kind of chilled after lunch. And what's being known is affected by that, but not the direction of what's being known.